Well, Happy New Year again, everybody. I don't know if I need to use this. Can you hear me without it?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, fine. Well, some years ago, we visited friends in New Guinea. Has anybody else been to New Guinea? Oh, great. Well, when we were there at Port Moresby, we went shopping and we were amazed and amused to see the local tribespeople in full regalia with feathers and leather, leaf skirts and bows and arrows, marching in and out of the shopping malls. Well, the story goes that in some such place, several tribespeople visited a department store for the first time. They were open-mouthed with astonishment at the array of goods and the moving stairs. Then they stopped in front of some shiny doors, which opened to let an old lady hobble in with her walking stick. The doors closed, and a few minutes later, the doors reopened, and out stepped a beautiful young woman. The group gazed in wonder. Then the oldest man turned to his son and said, "Quick, go and get Mum." Sorry, Graham, we have no such lift here for you. Well, Happy New Year. A new beginning. Newness always comes with a sense of hope, doesn't it? A new page, a new leaf, a new start. I believe God has put this hope in our hearts. He is the God of newness. Just a few verses to remind us of this. In Revelation, he who sat on the throne, God himself, said, "Behold, I make all things new." It's very reassuring for some of us who are very aware of things that need to be renewed. And these words are true and faithful. And Paul reminds us that if we're in Christ, as I believe indeed we are a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus and then asked us to pass on that same ministry of reconciliation. And John the Revelator, in his amazing vision of the new heaven and the new earth, described it wonderfully as a place where God will wipe away every tear. No more death, no more sorrow or crying, no more pain. This is the glory of the newness that awaits us. Well, meeting here today, I felt to remind us that we are people of the new covenant. I know it's not a new idea, but maybe we need to emphasize it and think about it freshly today. New covenant is another way of saying the New Testament, people of the New Testament. And we even have a special ceremony which marks this sense of belonging to the new covenant. And this is what we're going to celebrate together. This is going to be the high point of our morning together. A special new covenant meal that we call communion. Now, having a new covenant always implies that there was an old covenant, just as 2:17 implies that there was once a 2016 with all its troubles and blessings and so forth. Well, before we look to the year ahead, I really am longing for people here just to spend a little bit of time testifying to some of the best things that about God's work in 2016, because there's much to praise him for. So I'll just take a break for a minute or two, and I'd like a number of you, just if you have something to say, put your hands up and I'll come with a mic and you can just give testimony to something God has done that you want to give him glory for today.
I want to give glory to something which actually involved Graham and Rosemary, and that was the Christian Religious Education Program at Hampton Hill School, which I've been part of. This year, I couldn't attend the lessons for three quarters of the year, and it was quite frustrating, but I had time to go to the final concert, and it was such a celebration, and it was such a blessing, and the principal's words of encouragement were so positive, and God has really glorified through this, and so I really give thanks for that. That was awesome.
Thank you, Robert. Anybody else? Come on. So many good things happened last year. Nobody think of anything? Oh, yeah, here we go.
Again, I just want to give glory to Graham and Rosemary as well. My daughter had a continual battle. Every year she was hit with something, and the last thing was over a year ago she fell over in the bathroom and smashed her head and had a concussion and was off work, lost her job, and she was out of work for a year. And now she's landed herself a dream job at the Kaifarafa Child Care Centre in the last few weeks. So I just give glory to God.
I finished a book and finished editing it, and it's on its way.
Congratulations.
Well, I started studying for the first time in 20 years. I've passed every paper. I've passed the first exam I sat in 20 years, and I just feel God was so... Well, when he calls you to something, he will never let you fail in it. And I really just saw the proof of that this year, that if I put in the work, then it really was up to him to make the rest happen, and I just learned to trust him so much more in it. And on a student allowance, I am the best off financially that I've been since I separated in 6 years ago. I mean, how does that happen? God is just, he has blessed me so much this year. It's just totally insane. I got a new house too. He got me a better house than I thought possible. I didn't have a job or any work. I was nannying last 2 years, 2015 I was nannying, and then 2016 I didn't have a job at the beginning of the year, and I ended up back in Reading at Bethel for 3 weeks. I mean, how does that happen? That's crazy. I had no income, and yet I got 3 weeks with people I love and I didn't think that I'd get to see again. So 2016 has just been a crazy good year.
Wow. Praise God. Well, we have so much to thank God for. I have the privilege of handing out the prayer texts that people ask for. And over and over and over again, we have heard and seen evidence of wonderful answers to prayer. Even on Christmas Day, somebody came to me and said, oh, the prayer that you prayed for my friend, that friend was healed. And then I was walking in the hospital, and there was a young man we'd been praying for who had been desperately ill. He had no living relatives in New Zealand. He was a young man of 16 or 17. He had had some horrible infection, and every one of his vital organs was affected and beginning to shut down. And his family was flying overseas to be by his deathbed. And a friend of Ken Fisher's contacted Marty and said, pray. And as I was going to see a Pacific Island friend, as I went through the lobby, I felt the Lord say, go and ask at reception about that young man. All I knew was his first name. So I went to reception. Unusually, there was only one person there, a very young person. And I said to her, I wonder what the chances would be of visiting a young man in intensive care. What's his name? I said, well, his first name is Finn, F-I-N-N, and he's 16 or 17. And she said, oh, he's not in intensive care anymore. He's better. He's at... I didn't need to go and see him. I just needed to know that God is answering prayer. So I just praise God all the way home and still thank him for that. That was people here praying.
Thank you. This is giving glory to God, because I got that message through. And I was just sitting at home on my own, and I just thought, oh, because he's Scottish and he's on his own, you know, you feel that heart thing. And as the minute I opened my mouth, tears of intercession just flooded. And I could hardly get words out, but I knew that God really wanted that young man healed. And I just really kept that up on and off through the day as I was led by the Spirit. So, and I texted Rosemary and said, have you heard anything? She hadn't, so this is delightful.
God is so good, he just prompted me to go to that desk. And I think they're breaking the usual rules, but who cares? God's got other plans sometimes from the so-called privacy laws. So that was wonderful. And I could go on and on. In our own family, we've seen a miraculous healing of my sister, who was desperately ill, and nothing was touching it. The doctors had tried every sort of medication, and nothing was changing. In fact, it was getting worse. And then a very good friend said, this is spiritual, get the intercessors busy. And it was just breakthrough almost instantly. And she's never looked back. And she's been home since Christmas, and she's doing so well. So glory to God. And I could go on and on. Many, many answers to prayer. We're hearing about wonderful things in Lebanon. You've probably heard about the 900 children and how the Samaritans' boxes were able to be supplied to every child, how there was such a miraculous benefit of having YWAM team to help with the crowd control. Imagine 900 children. Mainly street children. That could have been interesting. So God is good. Anyway, let's move on. Well, speaking of the Old Covenant... We still love and celebrate the Old Covenant. And I love the dear man of God, Abraham, who without a Bible, without a church, without a family of faith, worshiped the invisible God, listened to his voice and obeyed him. What an amazing man he was. And God established his covenant with him and through him to people all through the earth. We're now blessed. And I want us to stop again at this point because forgive me if you don't agree with this, but just be patient with us. I really believe that as a nation, we need to be very careful what we do where Israel is concerned. And I would just like to pray protection on Israel at this time and for God's purposes to be fulfilled. Because as I was preparing this, the word eternal, everlasting, came through again and again. This is my eternal covenant with Abraham. He doesn't say, until the Security Council changes its mind. He doesn't say, until New Zealand passes a different motion. He said, this is my eternal covenant. And so there is a very special covenant, and we are very, very blessed by this tiny, much maligned group of people who through the centuries, whatever else they've done, whatever unfaithfulness there's been always been a remnant who have guarded and treasured the covenant, guarded and treasured the word of God. And I'm so deeply grateful for the descendants of Abraham. And I'm proud to call myself a daughter of Abraham because by faith I have joined and been grafted onto that tree. So I'm going to ask somebody, and I think it was Wayne who was expressing a concern. Wayne, would you pray for Israel and also for New Zealand at this time?
Yeah, look, I was just getting the word foolish, fools. And Lord, I just bind any foolish resolutions or thoughts that have been made by man. And we just declare your kingdom come. Your kingdom come in Israel. Your kingdom come in New Zealand. Just take away anything that the devil has done, because we know, Lord, that you can make things, all things new. And we just pray for this new covenant with Israel. And we thank you that you really love New Zealand. You know, our national anthem is a declaration of your protection over our country. So we just bless that protection and your kingdom come, New Zealand, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Just felt that was important to make that declaration to the unseen powers at this time. Now, worship in Israel centered around the covenant box. And as you probably remember, it's a wooden box covered with gold, guarded by winged cherubim. And inside the box, there are three things. The Ten Commandments on stone tablets, not very, very different probably in thickness and size from this. When I was a child, I used to think that the stone tablets were like those big sort of stone milestones that you used to have at the side of the road. But they're actually just thin fragments of stone, I believe. Not very big and not very heavy, on which the words would be engraved. The tablet, yes. So two stone tablets, the pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Now, God, through these things, was reminding his people of his purposes for them and the kind of covenant that he had with them. First of all, it was a covenant where there was obligation on both sides. God promised protection and provision, and that's symbolized by the pot of manna. But he also required obedience, which is symbolized by the Ten Commandments. And he also supplied with them a priesthood, Aaron's rod that budded, leadership, because we need leadership. They would certainly need leadership to be going through the wilderness and ultimately into the promised land, a place very unlike the land of Egypt where they'd been slaves, a land of hills and valleys, a land flowing with milk and honey. But over and over again, as you know, the story of the Old Testament is a very, very sad story, because from beginning to the end, right to the book of Malachi, it's a story of disobedience, of broken promises, of laws disobeyed, of unfaithfulness to God, people turning to idols, and warning after warning after warning, prophetic word, begging and pleading with the people to turning back to God. And of course, as we know, the sad story reached a point where the land spat them out, as it were. They were expelled from the land and exiled. But, you know, God is so merciful and gracious. And at about the same time this was going on, prophets were beginning to give new message of hope to share with the people. And Graham's going to read us some of these.
Okay, these are three readings about the covenant. Promises of a new covenant. A Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. And from Jeremiah 31, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. And Ezekiel 36, Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
So even in the time of the old covenant, there was hope, there was a looking to the new covenant that was going to come. And the great prophets and men of faith looked towards those days. Now, as it said in those readings, the law used to be written on stone tablets, and some people remembered and some people forgot it. But by the Holy Spirit, we now have that law, the law of love, love for God and love for one another in our hearts. And I think we could all testify to that. I'm sure you've had the experience I've had where you say something or you go to say something and you just know within you the Lord saying, uh-uh, zip it, no. Or alternatively, speak, go, say this, do that. He's constantly at work and it's always loving. It's always about building up. And secondly, the pot of manna was to remind them about the heavenly bread, but we now have the living bread. And that means that when I come to read my Bible, it's nourishing for me. The Holy Spirit makes it come alive. It's because the living bread, Lord Jesus, interprets that word for me every day. And I can say that every single time I read it, it's fresh and it's got new meaning and it's got relevance for today. Just as we've heard both in our singing and in the prophetic words. You know, people have spoken, but it's fresh for today. It's something for 1st of January 2017. The living word, the living bread, our source of nourishment. And then the Aaronic priesthood, symbolized by the almond blossom, is replaced by a new order of priests. Do you realize that you all represent this new order? You are all, according to the new covenant, kings and priests. Whether you're young or old, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, if you love Jesus, you've asked him into your heart, you are now a king and a priest. And we don't have to offer blood sacrifices. There's no butcher smells around this place as there was in the ancient temple. It must have smelled horrible, to be honest. But we now have only to offer the sacrifices of praise and worship, which is what we've been doing. That's what the priests do in the new covenant, praise and worship. And in terms of sacrifices, according to Romans 12, every day offering ourselves as a new and a living sacrifice. In other words, I'm here, Father God. What do you want me to do today? What are your plans for me today? I want to live for you. That's how we are a living sacrifice for him. Let me speak when you want me to speak. Be silent when you want me to be silent. Let me pray as you want me to pray. Help me to go where you want me to go. Help me to do what you want me to do. May your Holy Spirit be the loving one who guides me in all of these things. That's being a living sacrifice. That's being a king and a priest to him. And so we celebrate this amazing new covenant. In the old covenant, blood sacrifices, But now we have a new and a living way. One final perfect sacrifice for sin. And I loved what you said, Robert, that the cross is a kiss. The kiss that unites heaven and earth. A kiss that's so all-embracing, the arms are spread out from east to west to totally embrace us. And at the same time, it reminds me of Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as Corrie ten Boom said, no fishing. It's gone. It's done with. He doesn't want us. He doesn't want to be reminded of it because he's paid the price for it. Why would he want to be reminded of the sins that are forgiven and forgotten? The night before he dies, it was when Jesus first instituted this new covenant meal. And now this meal is eaten by people in every continent on earth, in every language that you can imagine. He just took very simple things, the most simple aspects of the meal. He, as somebody said, you know, he could have taken the lamb because that was significant in Passover. But lamb is quite expensive and not everybody has access to lamb. So he chose the very, very simple things, just the staples, the bread and the wine. Simple meal. Wine doesn't sound like a staple to everybody, does it? But believe me, it was in that society. And it does speak a very powerful spiritual truth, the crushing of the grape. And here's the true vine. The grape was taken and crushed. And through the crushing comes this beautiful, refreshing, wonderful drink that speaks of his blood. And so he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant given for you for the forgiveness of sins." So now, at the start of this new year, new day, new week, we're going to celebrate the new covenant with this simple holy meal together. We gather in the name of Jesus, and we know he's here with us. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, the true bread from heaven, for the new life you've given us as we eat the bread of life. And we thank you for the blood which speaks to us of your eternal sacrifice, which has made it possible for us to gather today in your holy presence to sing and to worship together. I'm going to invite Wayne to come and bless the bread and the wine, and then invite you to come up and take it. And after that, return to your places, and we will take the bread and wine together when everybody's received.
Thanks, Rosemary. As I was reflecting on this morning on 2016, I just felt the Lord was saying that you know, people look at the world and that's what they see out there, you know, this greyness and darkness, and where the world wants to bring division, the Lord wants to bring unity. Where the world wants to bring brokenness, Jesus wants to bring wholeness. Where the world wants to bring busyness, Jesus wants to bring us rest. Where the world wants to bring confusion, Jesus wants to bring us truth. Where the world wants to bring us anxiety, Jesus wants to bring us peace. Where the world wants to bring on depression and negativity, Jesus provides hope. Where the world's about blaming and shaming, the Lord is saying, "You are forgiven, I will make you clean, and I will restore you." And so we thank you, Lord, that through this wine and through this blood, that you'll restore us, you'll bring us hope, and you'll make us whole. In Jesus' name. So I just invite you up to come and partake.